So tonight, I just have kind of a devotional thought for you guys. Hopefully it's encouraging, challenging to you. How many of you guys are reading with us on our through the Bible? Is anybody reading with us? Nobody's reading with us. Is anybody reading their Bible at all? Okay, that's good. All right, you don't have to read with us, but if you want to, you can. I'm reading through. This is what I'm doing for my reading, is I'm just reading through the books as we go through them each week. So I was in 1 Chronicles this week because that's where we're at. But chapter 29, it's the final chapter of the book. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. It says, chapter 29, verse 1 says, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal." This is the verse I want you guys to pay attention to. The gold, well, you should pay attention to all of it, but this is the key verse. "The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers." That's like craftsmen, another word for that. "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" So it's really that last sentence of that, of verse 5, that kind of stood out to me as just something to challenge myself with, and so I want to bring it to you guys to challenge you with it also. "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" What does consecrate mean? Anybody know?
Dedicate,
sanctify, like, so who is willing to, like, sanctify, or who is willing to dedicate his service this day unto the Lord? So David is asking this of the people of Israel, and he's listing off, "I've gathered up all this gold, I've gathered up all this silver, and I've prepared everything for Solomon so that he can be the one to build the temple and get everything, all the things made out of gold that are going to be made out of gold, all the things out of silver, etc." And he's gathered up all this stuff. And then he says, "Of my own, separate from everything else that I've gathered, of my own wealth, of my own resources, I've gathered up 3,000 talents of gold." So he talks about the things that he's given. He talks about the gold and the 7,000 talents of refined silver. Right? That's out of his own pocket, so to speak. And then he goes on to say, "And who else is willing to dedicate their service to the Lord?" Like, who's willing to step up and give something to the house, give you of your gold and your silver and your iron and your precious stones and whatever other things, right, that are needed for the temple. Who among you is willing to step up and dedicate that to the Lord? But also, who's going to be willing to step up and dedicate their service? The whole point of the temple was what? What was the point of the temple? Why did David even want to build a temple in the first place?
The place
what? Okay, yeah, for a place to set apart for God, to sanctify, yeah. What else? I know some of you guys know the answer to this question. You just don't want to say it. This is Wednesday night. Loosen up a little bit.
My brain is frozen.
Oh, reboot.
You can sit here in the warm hall.
What is the point of the temple? To worship, yes. It's the dwelling place for God. David told God, "I want to build a place for you to dwell." And God says, "I have never asked for a place to dwell. I don't want a permanent place. I've got the tabernacle." Right? That's God's dwelling place on the earth. But yes, it's a place for people to gather, and it was set up, the tabernacle had been set up in the middle of their camp for all the time that they wandered in the wilderness, so that everyone, their life centered around the tabernacle. And the temple was going to be the permanent replacement for the tabernacle. And so it was supposed to be this place that God could dwell, that people could come. Any Jew could come and worship and make their sacrifices, and they could come commune with God, right? That's where the priests were going to go in and do the priestly duties inside the temple, right? This was going to be a place that people could dwell, or that God could dwell and that people could come to, right? And so he says that he wants, who's going to be willing to dedicate their service to the temple? Who's going to be willing to dedicate their things? Yes, but who's going to be willing to like show up and like serve the Lord at this place? Then, in verse 6, it says, then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, the people he was talking to, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So what I want you guys to get out of this. So last week, Ray was talking about giving, right? And I don't want to rehearse. This really is not about giving up of your money to the Lord, although you should do that. But we've already talked about that. I'm not trying to beat you over the head with give up your money. I know a lot of you guys don't even have jobs. So the money aspect of it is not really the point of what I'm talking about. But serving the Lord is going to cost you something, right? Jesus said, where is that verse found? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm trying to remember where that verse is. Anybody know where that verse is off the top of your head? No. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Right? Jesus calls us to pick up our cross and carry him. Take up our cross and carry him. Right? Romans 12:1. Right? It's going to cost us something. It's our reasonable service. So serving the Lord, when we talk about giving back to the Lord, we do talk about money some of the time. But that's not really all that we're talking about. It will cost you financially, sure, to follow the Lord. But what we're really talking about is giving yourself to the Lord. David was stepping up and he was asking, hey, who's going to be, this is what I've given personally to the temple. But I've gathered all this stuff. I've gotten it all ready. My son's going to be the one to build it. I'm not going to be here, so who among you guys is going to step up and is going to give of their money and is going to give of their time and of their service and of whatever skills they might have that could help put this temple together so that future generations can come and have a place to worship the Lord, right? This is what David's asking for, and these guys give willingly. It says that it lists off what they gave. They give all this gold, silver, they give precious stones. And then in verse 9 it says, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. It's joyful to be able to serve the Lord, right? We have a privilege that we get to serve the Lord. This church has a lot of different ways to get involved in serving the Lord. There's a lot of different things you can do with your time, with your talent, and with your treasure, all three of those things. There's ways to serve God. God has there's tons of different ways to get involved. And so David's really challenging the people. Hey, I'm going to be gone soon. I'm not going to be here to see this thing through to the end. God has chosen that my son Solomon is going to be the one to build this temple. And so I want to set everything up for him. So David does all the work of gathering everything up. But then he really is challenging the men of Jerusalem or of Israel. Hey, I am going to need you guys to step up, and not for my sake, not for Solomon's sake, but for the Lord's sake. Who among you is going to serve the Lord, and how are you going to serve him? And then when they do offer it up, it says that they're joyful. They rejoice because, man, we serve the Lord. When you go home from like a long day of work, like, and you can look and you can see. I mean, even if it's not a long day of work, when I get done mowing my grass, how many of you guys mow the grass at your house? None of you guys mow the grass? Okay, Silas mows. Okay, isn't it nice to like go in and like stand on the back patio or look out the back window and like look at your yard that you just mowed? It's got nice lines in it. Smells good out there because you just got done cutting the grass. Do you guys feel good after you mow the grass? Or no? Yes. Yeah, it's nice, right? It's the same thing. If you do something, you get done building something or making something, even if you just like cleaned up your room or you cooked a meal, like it's nice to be like to labor and do something and then to be able to step back and look at the thing that you did, the thing that you built or the food that you made or the room that you cleaned or whatever, right? And like you can look and see, it's like joyful. You can see like some progress. You can see the work that I put in. I didn't really want to do it. I didn't really feel like doing it. I was too tired or whatever. But I did it, and now I feel better. The room is clean, or the yard is mowed, or whatever. It's similar with serving the Lord in ministry. Some of you guys get involved in ministry in different ways. Ministry can be exhausting, and it can be difficult. You got to deal with people, and it's messy. There's a lot of work that goes into it. There's a lot of time that goes into it. But at the end of the day, think about camp, for example. Camp is a lot of effort to put on. By me, by Brenda, by Nick and Kendra, all the adults that go, Bo, when we go with Maple City, like, it takes a lot of work to put on a camp. It takes a lot of money to put on a camp. There's a lot of planning and effort that goes into it. And all of that is, like, I'm not complaining about any of that. I enjoy doing that. But when we go to camp and, like, you know, somebody gets saved, or somebody gets excited about serving the Lord, or somebody, you know, like something changes in their life, or something clicks and that they didn't know before, or they hadn't thought about before, that makes it all worth the hassle of all the work that goes into it. There's joy in serving the Lord, because if we put in the effort and we have the right heart attitude about it, God's going to bless it. And when God blesses something, it does create joy. You guys remember Thomas Harding that was here at the Vision Conference? Bald guy, glasses, mustache, Portland. Yeah, okay. They planted a church. They've started having services recently. And he just sent out his update this last, actually maybe yesterday, I got his update. And they had their first salvation at one of their church services. And it was his son, one of his sons. And so there's this picture of him hugging his son, and it says, like he wrote in there basically, you know, like, this was our very first church service, and we had a surprise salvation. It was my son, and he's been asking questions, and we've been talking to him about it, but he's like, I didn't expect him to, like, raise his hand and want to get saved at our first church service. But then he said something basically that said, if we moved out to Portland and we're doing all this work to plant this church just for my son to get saved, it was worth all of that. Right? I mean, all the traveling around and the preaching at different churches and trying to ask people to support him with prayers and support him with money and all this stuff, all the work that they've done to get that church started, he was saying, if we did all that just so my son got saved, man, it was worth that, right? And it's a picture of him hugging his son. And so, as we serve the Lord and like someone gets saved, if you share the gospel with your friend and they get saved, that's joyous. I don't know if any of you guys have done that with your friends, but that creates joy, right? It's work, it's uncomfortable, it's scary, or it's whatever, you're nervous about it. But when God shows up and that person gets saved, or if they just don't, you know, get mad at you, if they're like, oh, that's interesting, I never heard that before, you feel like a certain sense of confidence and excitement, and maybe God can do something else, and maybe we can have another conversation about this. And so when we serve the Lord, there should be joy that comes from that. It should cost us something, but there should be joy. And these people are rejoicing. And then it says at the end of that verse, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Think about for David. He knows that he's going to be dying soon and that he's going to be passing off this responsibility to his son Solomon. And he looks out among all these men and he challenges them. Who's going to step up? And they all say, we're going to step up. You know, we got this much gold. We got this much silver. We got this much precious stones. I'll give this much. Hey, I know how to swing a hammer. I've got a friend who owns a rock quarry. I've got this skill over here, or I can build furniture. You know, like all these people step up and they're all excited because they're like, man, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to build this temple. This is going to be a place that our children's children's children are going to be able to see. And they get all excited about it. And that makes David excited. He's like, man, I don't have to worry about this temple not getting built. I don't have to worry about Solomon. Because the chapter started out, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. He starts off the chapter by saying, my son Solomon's young, and I don't know if he's going to be able to do this. God chose him, so I trust that God's going to be able to do it. But man, we are going to need some people to step up and do some work. Some men that are more seasoned, that can do some things, are going to have to step up and help out my son. He's worried at the beginning, but by verse 9 it says that he rejoiced with great joy, because he knows, man, this is a load off of my chest. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen for Solomon. And then in verse 10 it says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, and then for the next several verses this is a prayer that David lifts up to the Lord. And so as I read this prayer, we don't pray like this anymore. I don't pray like this. I don't know if you guys pray like this. It's a lot of the way that David writes the book of Psalms, right? He wrote a lot of the book of Psalms. The way that he writes that, and we don't really talk like this anymore. I'm not saying that you have to pray this way. But look at the way that David prays to God. He starts off, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." When's the last time that you thanked God just like for being God and rejoiced at how awesome God is and how he's made all of this stuff? Like most of the time for me, a lot of the time my prayers are, you know, "God, I really need some help with this thing," or "Hey God, thank you for, you know, helping me not get in a car accident a minute ago when I wasn't paying attention," or "Thank you for not letting that cop notice how fast I was going," or, you know, "Thank you that my, you know, friend didn't get, you know, injured," or what. Like it's prayers that are like me focused. Sometimes I'm praying about, not all my prayers are about me, but sometimes I'm praying about somebody else and all that. But when's the last time that I prayed? When's the last time that you guys prayed and it was just like, "Man, God, you're awesome. You deserve everything, God. All this conversation we just had about all this gold and silver, man, we don't even have enough, not even close to enough, to what you deserve. But God, thank you, for being who you are. Thank you for all these people that have stepped up to help." He's just like honoring God, with the way that he's praying. And then in verse 12, he says, "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." And then here he steps in and says, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." And so one of the things that it might cost you to serve the Lord, I've shared with you guys before, sometimes it costs relationships, right? There's people in your life that don't need to be in your life that are not, you know, like honoring and glorifying the Lord, right? They're not like helping you grow. They're bringing you down. They're dragging you away from serving the Lord, not helping you and follow the Lord. Maybe it's like going to cost you, you know, some of your time. Maybe it's going to cost you, you know, being able, I want to do this thing, but that's going to conflict with me being able to serve the Lord in this way. So I'm going to give up the thing that I want to do in order to do the thing that I know I'm supposed to do. Or maybe like this, David's humbly coming to God and saying, "God, if we give you every single thing that we have, we don't have enough." He says, "Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? God, we don't even have enough. There's not enough stuff in this world to offer you. Who are we? We're nothing," right? He gives up his pride. He's saying, like, "In my pride, I want to build this temple for you, God. I know I'm not going to build it, but man, it's just, I wish we could give more. I wish we could do more to serve you. Who are we, God, that you should even let us build this temple in the first place?" Right? Maybe it's your pride that you might have to give up in order to follow the Lord. Verse 16, "O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thy name, holy cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart," this is really the first time that he's even talked about himself in this prayer. He did say, you know, who am I that I should be able, that's like coming humbly before God. This is the first time that he even, in this prayer of several verses, that he even really talks about himself. And he says, "God, I know that you're a God that, you know, you take pleasure in people doing the right thing. And God, as for me, I've done this, I've offered all this stuff willingly, you know, with the cleanest heart that I can offer it." And so, you know, even in that, he's still saying, "God, you know, I know you desire a clean heart. As far as I'm concerned, my heart's as clean as it can be." He says, "As for me and the uprightness of my heart, I've willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the hearts, of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the thing which I have made provision." And so then at the end he wraps it up and he's like, "God, please help us not to mess this up," right? help Solomon to have the right heart attitude as he's getting all this ready. And God, please, like, don't let us mess this up. It says, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people. God, help us make this a priority. Like, help us to be, after this temple's built, help it to be used like the way that it's supposed to be used. Help us as a people group, as my grandchildren or great-grandchildren. God, help them to actually do what they're supposed to do. Help this to be like a beacon of light in our, you know, community and in our nation and the nation of Israel. Help this temple to be the place that we're trying to set it up to be. Right? And then they go on and he talks about all these thousands and thousands of animals and sacrifices that they offer up. But David, this is, and then David, Solomon becomes king and David's gone at the end of this. But this is kind of the way that this book wraps up David's life is like, he comes before God and he's like, hey, we're offering everything we can. I'm all in, God. My people are in. Like, we are ready to serve you. Please, God, give us, you know, you're great and we don't even deserve any of this. But God, please help our, you know, community, help our people to not fall away. Help this temple to do what it's supposed to do. And so I just think it's a really cool chapter, a good way to wrap up David's life. I mean, if you think about all the things that we know about David's life, and it's still just minor in comparison to what actually happened in his life, but all the things that David did in his life and the way he wants to wrap up, or the way that God chooses to record the end of his life here is, man, just God, thank you for everything you do for us. Men, I need someone to step up and do some stuff. Let's serve the Lord. Let's keep this thing going for generation to generation. And so, for you guys, applicationally for you guys, like, you guys are always here, you know, you're the next generation, and, you know, this class, we exist, we call it You Grow, so you guys can grow, like, that's the point of this class. All of you guys are gonna graduate high school, at some point in the next 5 or 6 years, or less, and you're gonna go off, and you're gonna do whatever you're gonna do. You're gonna go to college, maybe you're gonna stay around here, you're gonna get married, maybe you're not gonna get married, you're gonna have kids, maybe you're not gonna have kids, but you're gonna go off, and you're gonna be out of this class. Maybe you're gonna be out of this church. Maybe you're gonna be, hopefully you're gonna be outside of your parents' house at some point, right? And so, when we talk about you guys being the next generation, I mean, there's an expectation that I have for you guys, that your parents have for you guys, that this church has for you guys. We exist to train you up and train you up, not so that everyone can just be trained up and stay here, and we have a church full of well-trained soldiers. The point of training a soldier is so that they're ready to go off to battle and do things, right? If they just sit around in the barracks all day and do nothing, what was the point of all the training if they don't actually use it? It's just going to fade away, you know? And so as you guys are here in the safety of this church and getting trained up and getting invested into, the expectation is, man, I really hope you guys go off and do something. One of my prayers for you guys is all the investment that my wife and I and Nick and Kendra and Ray and Brianna and Cody and Taylor and Phil and Meredith, whoever else, whatever other adults are plugged into this ministry, we desire to see you guys like get up and go, right? So I'm asking rhetorically, but who's willing to serve the Lord? How are you going to serve the Lord? Are you willing to give up your money, your time, your talents, something that you're good at? Is there something that you can give? This church, I mean, there are men and women all over this church that come in and do free labor fixing things. There's people that are building stuff. You guys have seen the walking trail that started, the new light pole out here. This is all because people donated their time. People donated money in order to get these things built. There's a big bridge that's getting ready to go in across the creek over here so we can finish the walking trail. There's going to be a disc golf course put in here. No one's getting paid for any of that work. Like, all that work is donated work. And a lot of the money that's going for all those things has been donated. And so people are giving to make this place a more inviting and welcoming and a place that can be used for all different kinds of things. But at some point, those of us who are doing all the work now are going to get too old to do the work. And we're going to, like, need people to come up behind us and do the work. And so if you're still here, the expectation is you do the work here. If you're not here and you go somewhere else, the expectation is you do that work somewhere else. There's churches all over the place that need people to show up and that are skilled laborers that can do stuff. And if you're not skilled, I don't know how to build stuff very well. I can build a few things, I can fix a few things, but in general, I'm not super skilled. So maybe I can give my money, or maybe I can give my time, or both. And do things that way. So I want to kind of challenge you guys, or encourage you guys, to like step up. The expectation is that you guys do some stuff, and I want to see you guys grow, and I want to see you guys succeed, and I want to do whatever I can to invest in you guys to make that happen. Yes, Hallie.
Why do we need to
It's a place for the community to come, do a walks. Me and my family have already come up here and walked a little bit. It's for the endurance ministries who's ultimately going to use it on a regular basis. So,
huh?
Walking is good for all people.
The only walking trail that we have is usually the park.
There's the park, there's the stadium, and then the hospital has a little walking trail also. But it's a way for people to come in and have a place to, like, walk around, hang out. It's a place, it's the foundation for the disc golf course would be there. So, like frisbees. Well, there's a ministry. There's a ministry that used to exist that is kind of on hold, but it's coming back. It's called Endurance. They show up, they do some stretches, they have a Bible study, they do a walk slash run, and so this trail is going to be, I think, 1 mile. I think that's what it's going to be, 1 mile all the way around. So it's for them to come and stretch and do their Bible study and go for a walk and invite people. They have people training for 5Ks and stuff like that, that Graylin 5K and other things. So, anyways, yes.
How'd everything go with your sister with the hurricane?
Oh, she's okay. They only got a little
bit
of water damage.
Okay.
Perfect. All right, let's pray, and then we can continue this conversation if you'd like.